I don't normally do the end time stuff, but last week I said that I was going to take the month of March and we're going to go through some end times things. Maybe get you prepared for the end. Last week we talked about being prepared. We talked about Gaza. Today I want to talk about false religion or the one world religion. But it's all important that you know your stuff. Back in the, I don't even remember, it's been a long time. But the old commercial where the guy would come in and he was like a doctor and he had all the doctor garb on, the mask and everything, and the little glasses with the light on, and he's like, "How's the patient's BP?" And the nurse would go, "Oh, it's 120 over 68. "Oh, good. Well, sew him up." And he takes his mask off and gets ready to walk away, and the nurse says, "Well, you're not Dr. Stewart." And he goes, "Yeah, I know, but I did sleep at a Holiday Inn Express last night." And you're like, "Okay, what's that got to do with anything?" And then this big prompt comes up on the commercial and it says, "It won't make you smarter, but you'll feel smarter." Now, that's funny in its context, but I think I would rather have a doctor who actually knows his stuff than somebody that got a good night's sleep at Holiday Inn Express. And so when it comes to Christianity, we are commanded in Scripture to be careful. Be careful of people who don't know their stuff. Be careful of people who, Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, he says this: "See to it that nobody takes you captive by philosophy or empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." We can get led astray by fancy words. Man, people love to speak fancy talk. And there's a lot of people that'll give you fluff and fill. There's a lot of philosophy, the love of wisdom. A lot of people love to hear themselves talk about fancy stuff. But if the substance is not Christ, it's nothing more than an empty idol. And so Paul says in the earlier Colossians 2, verse 2 through 3, he says this. He wanted to make sure that the Colossians' hearts were encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach the fullness of the assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mysteries, which all that stuff is in Christ, in whom are hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We find that it's hidden in Jesus. And I'm glad that we live on this side of the rapture, because the end times world religion is going to be so dangerous when Jesus talks about the Antichrist coming on the scene after he does the abomination of desolation in Matthew 24. And then he comes toward the end and he says this in Matthew 24, 24 through 25. He says, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise, and they'll perform these great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect." I told you this stuff beforehand. It's like, man, be prepared because all this stuff's going to happen. I'm glad on this side, because when that end times religion comes and you get into the tribulation, Jesus says, man, if it were possible, it'd even leave the elect astray. I'm like, wow, there's a lot of stuff going on. Jesus even says, while we're in the church age, you ought to be careful. Make sure that people know their stuff. In Matthew 7, verse 15, he says this: "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." Peter says this in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. He says, "False prophets will arise among the people, just as they will be false teachers among you, and they will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction." He goes on in verse 2, "And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words." This is one of the reasons why I tell you it's so vitally important for you to be saturated with the Word of God. Be saturated with the Word of truth, lest you be deceived. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, 3 to 4, he says, "For the time is coming," and I would say it now is, "when people will not endure sound doctrine," sound teaching, "but they'll have itching ears." The Greek structure literally says the tickling of the ear. The tickling of the ear. "And they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And they'll turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." Most of the New Testament writers were very realistic about the possibility that true Christians could fall prey to heresy. And they were very strong in warning them against it. And so they would say, beware, be careful, watch out, look out for this, be careful how you are, do this. And in our text this morning in Acts chapter 20, Paul warns very strongly as well. In verse 28, he says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God. Okay, so be careful, church. To care for the church which he has obtained with his blood. And I know that after my departure, Paul said, when I'm gone, there are going to be fierce wolves are going to come in among you, not sparing the flock. From among yourselves are going to arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Notice carefully, he says two things. Number one, when I'm gone, people are going to come in from the outside. People are going to come in from the outside to try and fierce wolves are going to come in among you. But also notice the second thing. He says there's going to be some people who come up from within you guys. Not only do you have it from without, but you're going to have it from within. People are going to come up and try to pervert and twist things. Speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. And so this is why we have the scriptures. This is why we have the Bible. This is why God has given us this important information so that we can understand and know what God wants us to do. So that we can know truth. We have it. It's here. It's why we have our Constitution. So that we operate by faith and practice. So that everybody is unified. This is the basis for why we do what we do. Unity is what keeps the authenticity and the credibility of God's church protected. We have to be on the same page. Everybody has to be within the same doctrine, within the same unified faith and practice. And so what happens is that people love to bring in different stuff, to try to pull different people away, to try to have a following from within themselves. And Paul warns about this. Let's open with a word of prayer, and we'll get into our study this morning. Jeff Fisher, would you open us in a word of prayer? Amen. Open your Bibles to Revelation 17. We'll get into this. This is going to be some good stuff. Well, I thought it was good. I don't know if you'll like it or not. So, Revelation, this is a hard book to understand. We have a lot of metaphorical, a lot of symbolism, a lot of stuff, but we have a lot of literal things as well. And in Revelation 17, verse 5 through 6, John says this. And on her head, we're talking about the woman who rides the beast. And on her forehead was written a name of mystery called Babylon the Great, mother of prostitutes and of earth's abominations. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And understand the word prostitute, or I think some translations, the King James might say harlot, the harlot that rides the beast. But prostitute or harlotry, either way, in the Old Testament was a metaphor for false religion. And so the book of Hosea, God used his situation as an illustration to Israel. And so Hosea was to buy Gomer back, and so she was the prostitute. And so Jeremiah chapter 2, God says, you have went after foreign gods that are no gods, and so why have you left me? So we see prostitution and harlotry as an idea for false religion. And so we see in the end times, during the tribulation period, this woman, this Babylon the Great, is false religion. And the actual identity of what that religion is, we don't know. It's been debated for centuries. A lot of people seem to think that it would be Catholicism or Islam or some New Age movement. But there's no doubt that there is going to be one world religion. Now, there's going to be more. I can't say that. People say just one religion. There's not, because there's always going to be true biblical Christianity. Amen? Amen? There's people saved now. Revelation chapter 7 says that there's people going to be saved from every tribe, nation, tongue during the tribulation period, all that stuff. So that you still have true biblical Christianity, and you still have this one religion. And so when we talk about this world religion, whatever it is, it's going to be the major power. You might have other religions as well, but they're not going to be as influential. This is going to be the one that literally is a global type of religion. And so there is many sects and denominations that are going to be a part of this. We know that it is worldwide. Revelation 17, look at verse 15. John writes that the angel said, "The waters that you saw where the prostitute is seated are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages." So what we're seeing is this false religion is going to be global. So it is worldwide. This is a religion of worldwide. All peoples, nations, tongues around the earth. There's a universal type of authority to this religion. Now, it goes on to say, we won't get into that passage, but it says that the woman commits harlotry with the kings of the earth. And that gives the idea that this false religion's influence among the world's rulers and among the world's top influential people. And so they are going to be influenced by this one world religion during the tribulation period. Eventually, the harlot is going to lose favor with the Antichrist and the false prophet. And so the Antichrist is going to establish himself as God. He wants to be worshipped himself. And so Revelation verse 17, or chapter 17, verse 16, it says this, that, and the 10 horns that you saw, they are the beast, and they're going to hate the prostitute. They will make her desolate and naked, and they will devour her flesh and burn her up with fire. So during the tribulation period, the beginning portion of it, we believe there's this one world religion that dominates the world. You still have Christianity. But this is going to be the influence of the kings and the major influential people around the world, probably rich folks. And then in the middle of the tribulation, you have the abomination of desolation. The Antichrist sets himself up as God and demands worship and eliminates this one world religion. So then you have to take the mark of the beast, you have to worship him, you have to do all that, because then he becomes the one that is the biggest influence around the world. Revelation 13, verse 11 through 12 says this, "Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth that had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose mortal wound was healed." And so we see after the Antichrist does the abomination of desolation, the false prophet comes along and he forces all the people to worship the first one, which is the Antichrist. And so, okay, I understand that. One world religion, one world stuff, what's the big deal? Well, the one world religion has to be established by the time we come into the tribulation period. And we have in the backgrounds what Paul calls 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. He says, "The mystery of lawlessness is already at work." So we already see this mystery of lawlessness, the power of Satan working through governments, working through the backgrounds, working through things that we don't even see. And so this has already been at work for a long time. First of all, understand that there's nothing that needs to happen for the rapture of the church to come back, for God to get his people to take him home. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. There's nothing that needs to happen. So all this stuff that I'm talking about don't need to happen either, because we're out of here at any moment. We just need to be ready. Jesus said if the owner of the home knew when the thief was going to come and steal from him, he'd have been prepared. And so you don't know when I'm coming back, you be prepared also. And so that's what we're to do. We're to be prepared. But when we talk about the one world religion, understand the Antichrist will establish his worship in the middle of the tribulation. So this one world religion is going to be before that. So what does that have to do with us today? Look at this picture right here. And I got my little stick here to keep you awake, so make sure you don't be snoring. I'll call you out. You may not know this one. This is Greater Israel. Not going to get into that this morning. You do your own research. But this is a beautiful picture of what Greater Israel wants to be. They're including a lot of their land. And it's funny, you can look this up as well. There's never really a definitive land outline or borderline for Israel. It's always kind of just given, like where Israel is. It's always kind of given, not literally mapped out. But this is what's called Greater Israel. This has been around since the 90s. Matter of fact, during an Arab summit back in the 90s in Cairo, Muammar Gaddafi stooped down to give Yasser Arafat these papers. And on these papers was a new allocation for Israel called Greater Israel. Of course, Yasser Arafat was so mad, fuming, he stood to address the other Muslim leaders with rage and tried to tear some of the documents up. But the documents contained this map. And so this in red was supposed to be allocated for Israel. And it's called Greater Israel. Matter of fact, in 2024, Benjamin Netanyahu talked about this expansion as well. And this is, next slide, please, Steve. And so if you look at this, this is actually the Greater Israel expansion. You may not know this. These are from textbooks. This is a patch found on military. This is the necklaces that just common people have and wear that depict the Greater Israel area. And so they are already talking about expanding Israel and moving forward and trying to make alliances so that they can have some new land. God gave Israel, and if you can see this by this picture, here is the Dead Sea, here's the Jordan, here is the Sea of Galilee. So Jerusalem's over here, here's Gaza, okay? So you can see that they are expanding their territory. And they're wearing this stuff today. They want to expand Israel to a bigger and further area. Next slide. So this is just a general map, no big deal. But I want to do this because here's Jerusalem, here's Israel, here's the Gaza Strip. We talked about that last week. But all the way over Saudi Arabia, of course, you got Turkey here, Iran, Iraq, Kuwait. Here's the Persian Gulf. And clear over here is the United Arab Emirates. And there's a little place right here that's fun to say. It's called Abu Dhabi. And you have to say it that way when you say it. Abu Dhabi. It's really fun to say. So let me zoom in on this. Next picture. So we're about 1,500 miles from Jerusalem. And so we're clear over here past Saudi Arabia on the Persian Gulf is a little place called Abu Dhabi. Why do I want to pick up Abu Dhabi? This is a Muslim area. Well, it is, but it's just like we have different denominations that are very different beliefs, so do the Muslims. They have different sects and they have different denominations, I guess. And the ones that control this in the United Arab Emirates of Islam, these guys are very liberal. They love money. You can see up there to the top right above Abu Dhabi is Dubai. Very rich, you got to have a lot of money to go to these facilities over there. Crystal clear, beautiful blue waters and just lovely places to visit. They love money. These Muslims over here, they love money. And so that's one of the reasons why they're kind of all-inclusive. I'm sure there's some mystery of lawlessness working in the background. But look at this picture right here. Not this one. This one. This may not be too familiar with you. This is what is called the One World Temple to some. Some call this the One World Temple. This is actually called the Abrahamic Family House. Singular. It is three, but they're actually one. And so it's called the Abraham Family House because one is a church, one is a mosque, and the other is a synagogue. Now, this This may sound funny, but this represents the types of faith that we have majorly outside of Hindu around the world. You have Christian faith, you have Muslims, and of course you have Judaism. In an article of the Vatican News, Pope Francis talked about the Abrahamic family house as a unique structure. This was inaugurated in 2023. This promotes and further facilitates the living out of inter-religious coexistence and harmony. In the historic document, 2019, there was a document on human fraternity for world peace and living together. So these people in Abu Dhabi, they want to bring a one-world religion where everybody can come and worship. Benjamin Netanyahu was also invited there. He did not go because of problems that had arose for different reasons. But the Pope has visited there many times. He has put his blessing on that many times. And he has encouraged religions around the world to go and make peace at this place, to be a place where all religions can come without persecution, without any type of anything, where we can all come together in peace. Now, you say, well, why is it called Abrahamic Family House? You have a Christian church, you have a Muslim mosque, and you have a synagogue. Well, there's a reason for that. Number one, let's talk about the mosques. Muslims use mosques. This is from Islam. This comes from the Arab nations. And if you remember back in Genesis, all of this stuff takes their roots in Abraham. You remember God promised a promised seed, right? Well, when it didn't happen, Sarah gave her handmaid Hagar to Abraham. And they had the firstborn. And his name was what?
Ishmael.
Absolutely. And so Sarah got jealous and so told Abraham to get rid of her. And so they're out fighting in the desert to stay alive. And all she had was one little sandwich left. And she put her son over by a bush and she ran far away because she didn't want to watch him starve to death. And so she prays to God. And God says this. So why is this Islamic nations so big and so many? Back in Genesis, thousands of years ago, God said this in Genesis 16:12. Remember that, those three right there. It's crazy. He shall be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand against him. And he shall dwell over against all his kinsmen. So he's got family. He's got family. And that family has to do with Isaac, his younger brother, his little brother. And so in Genesis 21:18, when Hagar is there and they think they're going to die, and she prays up to God and he says, nope, he's not going to die. Lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make him into a great nation. So God already promised years ago in Genesis that Ishmael's descendants would be a great nation. If you trace the lineage, you'll find out that the Arab nations come from Ishmael. So you see, the fight over in Palestine is nothing more than two sons fighting over dad's land. So when you come to the Abrahamic house, the number one we see is the idea that Islam, a mosque, is part of Abraham, because Ishmael was Abraham's actual first son, right? Then you come to the second, and we know Isaac was the promised seed, and that's what God said, through Isaac would the nation of Israel come, and so we see all that, so I don't go through all those verses. You understand and know that Isaac was the promised seed, even though Ishmael was the firstborn. God says that this is your firstborn of promise, and that's why he's called that. And so through Isaac and Jacob and the 12 tribes comes the nation of Israel. Jews worship out of a synagogue. So you have, well, it's not up there no more, but just picture it again. Abu Dhabi, the family house of Abraham. You have a mosque from Ishmael. You have a synagogue for Isaac and the Jews. And then you have a Christian church. Well, why the Christian church? Well, Christianity came from Judaism. Amen? All of this is a fulfillment of what God promised in the Old Testament. It was fulfilled in Christ in the New. It all pictured him. It all pointed to him. And he was here. He lived. He died. He rose again. He was God. And boom, we have our Christ. But we too share in all of those promises. Paul says in Galatians 3:29 this, if you are Christ, then you're of Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. And so what you have in Abu Dhabi is you have the family house of Abraham, the Abrahamic family house, and you have a mosque, a church, and a synagogue that does with Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. And they're trying to unite, or they're basically have already united all of the religions around the world to come and peacefully just worship as you will. The mystery of lawlessness wants to get rid of truth. And that's how false teachings creep in. They give you a teaspoon of truth with a barrel of bologna. And remember Acts 20. This is what Paul says. Pray carefully. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all of the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his blood. And he says, after his departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among yourselves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. This is the thing that the apostle John warned about as well. In 2 John, well, there's only one chapter, but verses 8 through 11, John says, watch yourselves so that you may not lose what you have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. And if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Now this is, I don't want to get into this too much, but this is vitally important. Because you have to be careful about what you listen to. You have to be careful about what you watch on TV, what you listen to on the radio, what you study, what you hear from. Social media is so big to put stuff in your face, and our younger generation, man, is just flipping and listening to whatever. You got to be careful about what you listen to. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. And so John is writing to save people. He's like, don't bid them Godspeed. Don't give them any kind of a greeting, lest you be partaker of their wicked works. We never want to encourage false teaching. Amen?
Amen.
Be careful what studies you purchase. Be careful what things you have, because all you're doing is encouraging that stuff. And we've got to be very careful. That's why we're very careful about what we preach and what we teach here at Mission Point. The modern inclination is high tolerance of all these other religious differences. The New Testament writers did not share in the spirit of tolerance. Any false teaching, they pointed out the false teaching and the false teacher. Their commitment was to the truth, and they understood the dangers of religious error and the call for a stern condemnation for those false teachers that were giving it. This is why it's so important for you to be saturated with the Word of God. I can't tell you how important it is for you to know the Word of God. If you do not know, you'll be led astray. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, like Eve was deceived by the serpent, I'm afraid that you too are going to be deceived. It can happen very quickly, especially if you don't know your stuff. People's going to come in and be like, oh, hey, what's his BP? Oh, 120 over 60. Oh, sweet, sew him up. He's fine. But we haven't even operated yet. Oh, well, had a good night's sleep at Holiday Inn Express. And it'll creep in very quickly. It'll creep in very subtly. And you'll never know it till it's too late. And even though Christians will never lose their salvation, you can lose rewards. You can get deceived to lose reward. John says, I want to make sure that you have a full reward. I want to make sure that you have everything that's coming to you. Don't be deceived by false teaching. You'll lose some of that. There's no reason to lose anything. We have everything that we need. That's why it's so important to protect the credibility and the authenticity of God's church, especially by what you fellowship with. Proverbs 22:1, Solomon writes, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. and how shameful it is for people that come in that are associated with false teachings and very dangerous doctrines of demons, as Paul says, to be led astray, to lose that good name. And so we want to protect the credibility and the authenticity of God's church. We want to make sure that we're all on the same page. We want to make sure that we all understand, as we should, by faith and practice, unity is what we're after. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, God wants us to be unified, unified in purpose, unified by faith, unified in love, unified in all the things that Christ died to unify us with. And we need to strive to keep that unity. The modern age has a decreased sense of danger in heresy and has lost its conviction about the truth. Christianity is exclusive, not inclusive. Jesus says in John 14:6 this, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through him. Friend, if you're here this morning, there is no name under heaven whereby men must be saved. It's only by placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone and his death, burial, and resurrection. What he did on the cross is the only thing good enough to restore that relationship, to reconcile you back to a holy, righteous God. And church, if you have been reconciled back to God, make sure you're doing everything necessary to protect the credibility and the authenticity of his church. He purchased it with his blood. It was that important for him. It should be that important for us. Let's bow for prayer. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for our time. Thank you for just your word that guides and directs our steps and gives us what we need to live out this daily. Until you return, you're coming back soon, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe another 1,000 years. We don't know, but we're commanded to be prepared. Plan for the future, but live in the now. You may come today. Are we ready? Are we prepared? Father, I pray if there's someone here this morning that has never placed their faith and trust in your Son. We know the end's coming. We know your Son's coming back, but they have right now. They have today. Let today be the day of salvation. And Father, for your church, man, there's so much teaching out there that if you want somebody to back up your position, all you got to do is Google it, and you'll find somebody that matches your position. But we want to align with the truth. We want to make sure that we have the truth. And for your church, folk, God, may they begin to study and may they begin to know so that they won't be deceived. If you don't know the truth, you'll never know what comes in that's false. And so, Lord, we just pray that you'd have this invitation, whatever the Spirit impresses upon somebody's heart, Lord, we pray that you'd have them to come. Leave it at the foot of the cross, whatever someone is going through, whatever they need to just lay it down at the cross, let them do that this morning. We know that 1 Peter 5:7 says that cast all your cares upon him because we know that you care for us. And so may they do that at this time. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.